The following is distributed by the Berean Call.
There's nothing new about the New Age movement except the amazing credibility and acceptability and respectability that the old occultism has been given. You say, well, wait a minute, how can there be a New Age in the church? New Age is basically paganism. They call it the ancient wisdom. It's the ancient wisdom that came out of the mouth of the serpent in the garden. How could that possibly get in the church? It's this brainwashing process that we heard about the first hour. Deliberate program to destroy the evangelical faith. People don't like that. I was watching, somebody called me and said, you gotta turn on your TV. This is Oregon, OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting. John Bradshaw was on. Well, he was teaching, if you don't know who John Bradshaw is, he's another one that's into this recovery movement, selfism. And here he is, public broadcasting. 5 days of seminar. And one of the things that he was saying was that, I mean, he was using God language, spiritual language. Spirituality is in today, but it's not godliness. It's not biblical. It's another spirit. But he was using spiritual language, religious language, talking about God and so forth, convincing his audience. He's a very engaging, convincing speaker. And then he said a word about these people who say that they are saved, that they know the truth. And of course, when you say that, he said, you're putting down others. You're shattering their fragile self-esteem. Bill Wilson said he could not stand these religions that claim to be right. Well, if nobody's right, what's the point? It's because they're not willing to take the straight and narrow way. It's rebellion. You know the saying, we're all taking different roads to get to the same place. That's a good New Age. New Age is very ecumenical. New Age is very Hinduistic. Basically, there are only two religions in the world. Hinduism, Christianity. We don't call Christianity religion, but categorizing it in that manner. Christianity is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's not a religion. But you got to take your choice between Hinduism and Christianity. That's it. You say, what about Buddhism? That's the largest Hindu cult. Buddha was a Hindu prince. He became disillusioned with certain aspects of Hinduism, the multiplicity of gods, the caste system, and so forth, and he threw that out. But basically, it's Hinduism. It's a Hindu cult. It's an aberration. You say, what about Islam? That's the largest Judeo-Christian cult in the world. Muhammad claimed to go by the Bible. In fact, you read the Quran, the early verses, he affirms the Bible. But then later on, he contradicts it and he says, well, the Bible got messed up. Well, we have manuscripts dating back long before Muhammad that say the same thing that they say now. Muhammad believed in Jesus, claims to believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, believes in Jesus. Jesus even lived a better life than Muhammad. But he's not God, and he didn't die on the cross for your sins. In fact, somebody else died in his place. What a perversion. The one who died for us, Islam says somebody died for him in his place. And Jesus was the 27th prophet, Muhammad is the 28th, and so forth. It's a Judeo-Christian cult. And you can just go down the list and you can analyze all of them. In Hinduism, a Hindu will accept Jesus. Why not? They got 330 million gods. 330 million and one isn't going to change much. We call it the embrace that smothers. Because when a Hindu embraces Jesus, and this is the problem with taking the Jesus film, I'm sorry, to India, with some of the well-meaning people that go over there, don't understand Hinduism. People accept Jesus, this wonderful Jesus on the screen and so forth. But when they embrace him, they turn him into another avatar. He is not the Jesus of the Bible who said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Sure, Gandhi admired Jesus. Not that aspect of Jesus. Not at all. And you hear people say, well, we're all taking different roads to get to the same place. That's a good New Age idea. We're all part of the cosmos. But wait a minute. You know, we have some pastors here. Let me just make a suggestion. I think one of the greatest needs in the church today is for some sound apologetics, some sound teaching, particularly for our young people who are learning by rote certain things, and you could even say falling into line and don't really know why they believe what they believe and couldn't stand up and defend their faith to an atheist or whatever, and they shrink when they get to college, and a lot of them lose their so-called faith. I don't think they really had it, and they need to be challenged with something worth living for and dying for. But we need to think. When people say, oh, we're all taking different roads to get to the same place. Well, that sounds very broad-minded, doesn't it? All taking different roads? They'll let you take any road you want. Yeah, but it is more narrow-minded and dogmatic than anything Jesus ever said. What could be narrow-minded and dogmatic about saying we're all taking different roads? To what? Didn't you hear it? To get where? To the same place. Oh, they're only allowing one destination. And you got to go where they're going. And I'm not going there by God's grace. I'm going somewhere else. And Jesus wasn't so narrow-minded and dogmatic as to say there's only one destination. He said there's two. And you're not going to be forced to go to either one. You take your pick. Incredible the ideas that come into the church. I wrote a book way back there some years ago in conjunction with the man whose story it was, Ravi Maharaj. Maybe some of you have read it, Death of a Guru. And Ravi tells of, well, he was in a taxi in the east, not the eastern U.S., the east. And there were a number of them in the taxi. There was a, believe it or not, a Hindu, a Buddhist, and a Muslim. And they were going at it hard as to which was the best religion. It was getting pretty hot in there. And the cabbie was a Catholic, good ecumenical Catholic. And so finally, he thought these guys were going to come to blows. And he says, well, now, wait a minute. It really doesn't matter. After all, we're all taking different roads to get to the same place. That's a good New Age idea. New Agers will agree with you. They wouldn't put anybody down by saying that you're wrong. There's no such thing as right and wrong. You know, in Hinduism, there's no such thing as sin. The only sin would be to say you're a sinner. Because basically you are God. You're a funny kind of God. You forgot that you were God. And that's what yoga is all about. Practiced in almost every YMCA across the country. Talk about brainwashing. Talk about perversion. Young Men's Christian Association, and now they're teaching yoga. And the goal of all yoga is self-realization. To realize that you are God. See, you're a funny kind of God. You're really God, but you don't know it. Can you imagine a God who doesn't know he's God? Got to pay Shirley MacLaine $300 for a weekend seminar to teach him that he's God? How come he doesn't know it? And how come when she convinces him he is, he can't act like it? Well, if you're God and you forgot that you're God, what good is it going to do to remember that you're God? Won't you forget it again? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But it's the lie of the serpent, and people will accept anything but the truth. That's what Jesus said in John 8, was it 44, 45, somewhere around there? Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. He says, you would believe any lie. But the one thing you won't believe is the truth. And that's why you won't believe what I'm telling you, because I am the truth and I'm telling you the truth. I've worked a lot with people in cults, the old cult. I have great sympathy for them, up to a point. But I can tell you that I have found that most people, I don't care what group they're in, they're in it because it tells them what they want to hear. You realize where it began in the Garden of Eden, and Eve found a guru who told her what she wanted to hear and who justified what she wanted to do. And we have to be lovers of truth. And the Bible is very solemn on that point. If we turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, well, you know the verse. I just tend to quote verses, but verse 10, "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth." God is going to help people believe the lie they want to believe. If we're not lovers of truth, we will be deceived with the lie that appeals to us. Jesus said something very powerful. I won't take time to turn to it because I want to read some other verses here in 2 Thessalonians. In Matthew 24, you remember, he said, this temple is going to be destroyed. There won't be one stone left upon another. It will not be cast down. The disciples were shocked by that. And they said, when shall these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? They thought all three were one. No, there are three different events there. Obviously, Jesus didn't come in AD 70 when the temple was destroyed, although some people think so. And Jesus gave a lot of signs. They want to know the signs of the end, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilence, famine. That's one of the things that started me writing books way back in those days many years ago, because I realized that people were not talking and writing about the primary sign Jesus gave. The first one he mentioned, and he reiterates it three times. First thing he said was, beware that no one deceive you. He said, you want to know what the big sign of the last days will be? Spiritual deception. Like this world has never seen. He went on to explain it would involve three things. False prophets. Well, we got a lot of them. We're going to talk about some of them when we come to the faith movement. And I don't make any apology for saying that. Kenneth Copeland stands before a huge audience in Dallas. And Jesus speaks through him. And this Jesus says, don't be upset when people accuse you of claiming to be God. They accuse me of that. Wouldn't they accuse you? Well, after all, I'm not God, but he is. And then this Jesus says, but I never claimed to be God. I only claim to be a man through whom God spoke. A blatant denial of the deity of Christ through a Jesus. Some Christ speaking through him. And I can't understand why somebody in that vast audience didn't stand up and scream heresy. Why the editor didn't catch it. It's published in his magazine. Why the readers don't get it. Guruism. There's a kind of popery. You look up to somebody and accept what they say. Don't accept what I say. Be a Berean. Check it out from the Word of God. Jesus said there are going to be false prophets, false Christs, and false miracles. So convincing that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Well, you've got a lot of them on television. Turn on W.V. Grant. It was the atheists who got Peter Popoff thrown off, you know. But he's back on now in some places. I mean, he could call out your name and address and your doctor's name and the disease. And never saw you before. Got it from God. How did he get it? Well, Randy the magician went into some of his crusades with a sophisticated scanning device and scanned the airwaves. And what do you know? 39.7 megahertz, he found God's voice. And it sounded just like his wife from backstage. And she was broadcasting into a little listening, a little receiver in his ear. And I won't go into all the details of how he got it. W.V. Grant has a different system. These guys are frauds, false prophets. Well, we'll talk more about them when we get to that. But Jesus warned. Now, if you and I had been living in that day, I mean, if we knew what we know today, even 100 years ago, we would have said, you want to know the great sign of the last days? Atheism, skepticism, science will reign supreme. They'll have men on the moon and so forth. Nobody will have any religious inclinations. We would have been wrong. There is an explosion of interest in spirituality. And of course, that's one thing that psychology does. It claims to be scientific. The scientific study of the soul, the psyche, psychology. Okay? Carl Jung said, psychology is the study of the soul, but we don't know what the soul is. It claims to be the study of that which the Bible says is its sole province. It claims to be a scientific explanation of human behavior. And there is no such thing. Well, Jesus said there would be a great explosion of spirituality, of spiritual interest, but it would be false. It would be deceptive. And it would come in the church. I mean, he's not just warning the world out there. He tells you about it in Matthew 7. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? In your name we cast out devils. In your name we did miracles. And I will say, well, I don't want to, you know, persuade any of you who believe in falling away. Our only little slight difference is, you say the guy fell away, I say he was never saved. And that's what Jesus said. What did he say? I never knew you. Never knew you. Never, ever. And they passed as Christian leaders, doing miracles, signs and wonders. Never knew them. Never, ever. Remember my godly father, way back. Wow, it's late, isn't it? He told the story of this old gentleman that had this little street meeting going. And didn't see a great deal of success. A soul came to Christ now and then. And a couple of young men came along. One of them was he could sing, he could gather a crowd. The other one was a silver-tongued orator. Man, he had people coming forward and weeping. And shortly after these two guys joined him, the old gentleman died. And one day up in heaven, he asked the Lord how that street meeting was going. Street meeting? Jesus said, well, that ended when I took you home. What? You mean those two young fellows didn't carry on? Two young fellows? What two young fellows? Well, the guy that could sing some through the big crowd and the fellow that would preach, man, he had him coming forward. Jesus says, I never knew him. Lovers of truth, be careful we don't use psychological techniques to persuade people, but that it's the Holy Spirit working through the Word of God. And Jesus said there'd be a time of great religious deception. It would have a number of characteristics, and it would basically be an embrace by the world of the lie, of the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Amazing! Ed Decker's going to be talking about Mormonism. I can't fathom it. Brigham Young, speaking from the Mormon Tabernacle in Salt Lake City, said, I'm quoting him verbatim, the devil told the truth. I don't blame Mother Eve for eating the forbidden fruit. That's how we become gods. Mormonism is based upon the belief that the lie of the serpent that destroyed the human race is really the truth. Wow. Hitler said if you tell a big enough lie, you couldn't get a bigger one than that. But we've got evangelicals. I'm getting ahead of myself. But it relates to what we want to read here. Well, they claim to be evangelicals and sometimes even preach the gospel saying that we are gods. Mormons hope to become a god. They already are. Wow. You read about it here. That is the basic lie. And verse 3, Paul uses the same terminology, 2 Thessalonians 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away and apostasy. Some people say, no, that's the rapture. No, a departing. No, it's a departing from the faith. The rapture is something that God does to you. Falling away is something you do. You depart. We don't depart for heaven. He snatches us. But I don't know anything about Greek, but that's what this Greek word, the root of it, is. It's something you do to yourself. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth, now notice this, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, wait a minute, you've got a contradiction of terms. You got a man who doesn't believe in God, but he claims that he is God. I've talked to lots of them. I've talked to some of those priests in the Hindu temples. Oh, you're God? Yep. You created the universe? No, they don't believe in that sort of thing. See, he doesn't believe in the God of the Bible. He doesn't believe in the Creator who created everything out of nothing. But he believes we are all God. And he has looked within to realize that he is God. That's the religion of the Antichrist. It's in our world. It's in our churches. It's basically the exaltation of self. Whether it comes in little stages, self-esteem, self-acceptance, self-love, self-worth, self-ad nauseum. You know, you can look at it like this. God made man in His image, right? When you think of an image, you think of a mirror. A mirror has one purpose, and one purpose only, that is to reflect a reality other than its own, right? And what would you think of a mirror that tries to develop a good self-image? That goes against the whole purpose of a mirror. If there's something wrong with the image in the mirror, what the mirror needs to do is get back in a right relationship with the one whose image it was designed to reflect, right? But we're being turned from God to ourselves. And so He sits in the temple of God. Well, we believe that that's the Antichrist in a temple that will yet be rebuilt. One of the reasons why we know the temple will be rebuilt. And they're very determined to do that. Amazing that atheistic New Age Jews want to have this ancient religion revived with all the vestments and sacrifices and everything right on that site. Incredible. But it's the fulfillment of Scripture. But it has an obvious secondary application. Our body is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? No, you're not your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God. You're not your own. And for the first time in the history of the world, fulfillment of Scripture, not just a handful of yogis and gurus in the East, but millions of people throughout the Western world, through yoga, transcendental meditation, various forms of Eastern meditation. Meditation, come back to meditation, are looking within what ought to be the temple of the true God to discover their so-called higher self and to realize they are God, sitting in the temple of God, declaring themselves to be God, preparing the way for this Antichrist. Meditation. New Age. A lot of meditation in the New Age movement. But what do they mean by meditation? See, we're getting new meanings to words like gay. Not very gay anymore. When you and I were young and gay, we used to say, I don't want to be that. So, the meaning of the word has changed. Meditation, what does it mean in the Bible? Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And what? In his law doth he meditate day and night. Read Psalm 119. It talks about meditating on the word of God, upon his statutes, upon his commandments. Meditation always meant contemplation. To think deeply about something. Eastern meditation means the opposite. You tune it out. You go into an altered state of consciousness. Another word for the New Age is the consciousness revolution. You go into an altered state through various techniques. It can be learned very quickly. And all of these techniques are in the church, and we'll come to that in a moment. Now, let me just quote Sir John Eccles, Nobel Prize winner for his research on the brain. He describes the brain as, and this may be the most important thing I'm saying. Well, no, we can't get more important than the Word of God. He describes the brain as, quote, a machine that a ghost can operate, unquote. Now, you believe that as a Christian. You're not just a lump of protein molecules wired with nerves, a piece of educated beefsteak. There's a ghost in the machine, right? There's something looking out of these eyes. Fascinating research that he's done, tracing the neural activity in the brain, finding that it always starts in a particular place. What he calls the SMA, the supplementary motor area, he believes that's the connection between the spirit and the body. It's got to be there somewhere. We don't know. We don't understand. But telekinesis is going on right now. My spirit is operating my body. Really? That's in a normal state of consciousness. The same for all of you, but in an altered state, whether you get it under drugs, yoga, hypnosis, practiced by hundreds of so-called Christian psychologists, one of the fastest ways, in an altered state, the normal connection between you and your brain is loosened, and that allows another spirit to interpose itself. Begin to tick off the neurons in your brain, creating a universe of illusion. That's where the out-of-body experiences come from, the psychedelic colors, the psychic powers, and so forth. Yoga, if you read the books, you know, I've interviewed so many people who were involved in transcendental meditation, for example. part of the New Age. I mean, it's Hinduism. And they were given a mantra. I remember being on television in Southern California. I think it was Good Morning LA or something like that. And the hostess, the TM, I found out. I said, tell me your mantra. Oh, well, we don't tell that. Aing or something like that. You find out that every mantra is the name of a Hindu god. And then you read the books on yoga by the great yogis, and they say the repetition of a mantra is a call to the being represented by this mantra to come and possess you. No wonder I talk to people who've been involved in TM, and suddenly there's this demon on each side trying to get at them. Talk about brainwashing, being lied to. The fastest way to be deceived is to go into this altered state. That's at the heart of the New Age movement. That's at the heart of psychotherapy. That's at the heart of inner healing. It's a hypnotic state, leading entire congregations in a wholesale fishing expedition back into the past. And then to visualize Jesus and meet him there. Well, we'll come back to that in a moment. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. And that wicked, only he who now hinders, will hinder until he's taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. He can only be revealed in his time. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. There's a face-to-face confrontation on planet Earth between Christ and Antichrist. It's one of the reasons for the second coming. And that's not the rapture. The second coming, he comes to Earth to confront the Antichrist and to destroy him. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. Let me give you some examples. Part of this Freudian idea, and the reason that you go into an altered state, basically what's involved in psychotherapy, even if they don't call it hypnosis. There are many forms of hypnosis. Some of them are deeper than others. All therapy is a form of hypnosis because you have to access this. Well, Larry Crabb shows it like an iceberg. Conscious little tip up here, but most of it's down here, see? And so you can't access this consciously, volitionally, meditatively, as the Bible says, contemplatively, rationally. But you've got to go into this other state. And then they begin asking questions, and what do you know? You come out with all these memories of something that never happened, but now have been implanted. Oh, they can regress you into the womb. And you can come out with factual data, who the nurse was, what the doctor said. Wait a minute, we have any medical people here tonight? I am not a medical person, but I know that the myelin sheathing in the brain is not sufficiently developed in the prenatal, natal, and even the early postnatal infant to carry memories. Where does the memory come from? Oh, they can take you right on through into prior lives. And you come out with factual data of some little village you lived in India in the 500s, and you can describe this thing, and you've never been there. And what do you know? You're liberated with a new truth because you discover your fear of water. You know, you've always been afraid of water. You know what happened? In the 16th century, you were a pirate on the North Sea, and they made you walk the plank. And when they tell you that, you've been delivered. Well, read Korzybski on modern semantics, and he'll tell you any new idea, some new insight will change your life. It's not factual. It doesn't have to be. Delusions, deceptions. And then we've got people in the church. You don't have to read your Bible anymore, folks. Did you realize that? You don't have to study the Bible. Well, this is one. Vicki Jameson, I know she's got some tapes out there. And you got the whole New Testament on a one-hour cassette, and you can't hear a word of it. You hear music. But you listen to it and subliminally it goes into your unconscious. People get delivered from all kinds of things through this subliminal tapes. Subliminal deliverance. Bible-based subliminal messages hit controlling spirits where they live and command them to leave in Jesus' name. Then the void is filled with the Word of God. During Renew's five-year ministry, thousands of Christians just like you have been set free. Well, as a matter of fact, a scientific investigation says that subliminal tapes don't work. And if they work for anybody, it's placebo. You know what a placebo is. The Rafa Ranch, word therapy, the ultimate mind renewal tapes, with almost 90% of our mind in the subconscious realm. Where did they get that from? There is absolutely no scientific data to indicate that. You mean 90% of your brain isn't being used? Yeah, it's left brain, right brain, broccoli brain. It is absolute dribble. I'm sorry, it is. Men are left brain and women are right brain. What does it matter? As a matter of fact, both hemispheres of your brain work together, and if they didn't, you'd be in real trouble. But now I got to develop the left side of my brain or the right side of my brain or whatever, you know. With almost 90% of our mind in the subconscious realm, we must retrain it with the Word of God. The response has been overwhelming. Daily reports of healings, new peace and calmness, hearts being convicted, lives changed. Truly a new dimension in medicine, says Philip Newton, M.D. of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Fantastic. You don't even have to understand the Bible. You don't even have to hear it. You don't even have to know it. It's just going to zap you down there in that deep unconscious realm where all of this thing is going on. Well, I don't have enough courage to wear this one. But maybe some of you got this W.V. Grant. This is a subliminal tie. Ooh, how about that? It has Jesus Saves on there 555 times. You can't see it with the naked eye. But you wear that around your unsaved relatives. And they will be converted. New Age in the church. Nonsense. Christians, it seems, are more vulnerable to lies, will believe most anything. This is a newspaper article, St. Petersburg Times. Many Christians found believing in the New Age, and it gives you the statistics. It does say far more Catholics believe in the New Age. 59% of Catholics think the New Age and Christianity are compatible because Catholicism is highly New Age, and maybe we'll have a chance to document that when we get to Catholicism. But let me give you some examples of New Age. This is from St. James Church, Piccadilly, London, just off of Piccadilly Square. It's a program called Alternatives. It's Monday lectures. Every Monday night they have lectures. Let me read you some of them. This is a church that the Queen often attends. This is an Anglican church, part of the Church of England. March 13th, Druidism, Its Relevance Today. It will be taught by David Loxley, a member of the Druids for over 20 years. He's been chief of the Druid Order since 1981. And it has an interesting approach to spiritual growth, the Druids have. What on Earth is the New Age? The next week, March 20th. Humanity as a whole is entering a new form of consciousness. Consciousness revolution. You know, the New Ager says the only thing different between Jesus and us was he had attained to a higher state of consciousness called Christ consciousness. And when we attain that state of consciousness, we become Christ. Not far from where I used to live in Southern California is a New Age synagogue, Mahomor Shalom. They call it a New Age synagogue. I wouldn't call it that. That's what they call it, New Age synagogue. The chief rabbi, Ted Falcon, says the cry will go forth one day, will the real Christ please stand? And when the time has come, we will all arise and the world will be transformed. Because we will all realize the Christ within. That's not Jesus Christ. Every spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus, the one and only Christ, has come once and for all in the flesh, is not of God. But if you don't understand these things, why do we even talk about it? You can talk about Christ to somebody, you think you're communicating, you're not communicating at all. They're thinking Christ consciousness or Christ spirit. You can be talking about God, and they're thinking Star Wars force or something like this, some cosmic energy source. So we have to define our terms. What is the New Age Christ? How do we respond to the emerging Christ consciousness? I'm just giving you some of the titles. Well, listen to this one. This is one for D. Sunday from 2 to 6 p.m. in the church hall, price £5. This is a special Sunday afternoon designed for children aged 7 to 12 years old to explore their inner and outer selves in a joyous and creative atmosphere. Activities include new games, Native American journeying. You know what that is? The shaman goes on a mission in his mind to the upper or the lower world, to the past or the future, to find a spirit guide. Okay, he does it through visualization. He goes on and talks about visualization and so forth. And then, I know you would be glad to know, Wesak, the Buddha's birthday, in the church, 7 p.m. For many people in the New Age movement, Wesak, the full moon when the sun is in Taurus, is the most important spiritual event of the year. It's an opportunity for the most intense and focused spiritual work. They don't mean Bible study. They don't mean contemplation. They mean this kind of something else is taking over. We're getting into a spiritual state. It says, there is also a living legend which states that at this full moon, I don't know why it's a living legend, they're keeping it alive apparently, the Buddha and the Christ join together with all other liberated beings and with the communion of saints to invoke a great annual blessing for the planet. This is a report by a pastor who went to a World Council of Churches gathering. He said, I knew we were in trouble when our first worship celebration found us outdoors at a garden pool offering prayers and water libations to the seven spirits of the seven directions of the universe. Oh, spirit of the north, blow on us, and so forth. There was an outright denial of the doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not the name of God, but an archaic symbol for God, so loaded with classical Western sexism and images of oppression that it must be abandoned in favor of something more palatable to enlightened sensitivities. There was a denial of the divinity and unique saving authority of Jesus Christ. We were told Christ is just one of many deeply meaningful Christ figures among the religions and spiritualities of the world. While some of us may prefer to relate to Jesus as our personal Christ figure, we dare not make him exclusive. We must be inclusive of all potential Christ figures of all religions and so forth. This was a multi-faith service at Westminster Abbey with the Queen, who is the head of the Church of England, present. The procession entered, the Queen and Prince Philip with them. These are Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, and so forth. The first thing they had was a discourse of the Buddha being read about attaining Nibbana, the ultimate spiritual state in Buddhism. And then there was a Hindu text of the Svetavatara Upanishad, was read, which focuses on Brahma, the Hindu creator god. Then someone from Pakistan read from the Quran, extolling the virtues of Allah, and on it went. There were representatives of the Free Church of Baptists and Methodists and the Church of Scotland and so forth. Is the New Age in the church? Well, I could give you what maybe you would call extreme examples. Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York, largest Episcopalian cathedral in the country. The article says it is not unusual for a Muslim, Buddhist, or American Indian to preach from the main pulpit of the cathedral on a Sunday morning. He's totally into the New Age. But let's get a little bit closer to home. Maybe some of you received this a couple of Christmases ago. Two candles, red and green. Your miracle candlelight service is set for December 24th. Return the red candle to me today. Keep the green candle and light it on December 24th as we agree for your miracle. That's witchcraft, folks. In case you're curious as to who might have been involved in that. This was also included. Here's Richard and Oral Roberts lighting the red candles as you light your green candle. That's New Age. That's witchcraft. That's occultism. I don't apologize for saying that. How can we deny it? Let's come a little bit closer even, perhaps. Robert Schuller, when he spoke at Unity Village, and if you go to Unity Village in Lee Summit, Missouri now, they'll deny that he was there speaking. I happen to have gotten the tape. And since I publicized it, they've destroyed the tape. So you can't get another copy now. But if you want to hear it, I think you could write to our ministry. I don't know if we've passed around a sign-up sheet, but if you're not on our mailing list, you could get on it, and we could send it to you, I think, for a very cheap price. But anyway, he was asked one of the question and answer time, they said, we hear a lot about the New Age movement these days. You know, and they explain what it is, which we're all part of, and he didn't deny anything. Didn't deny he'd ever heard of it. And he said, what's the function of a minister in the New Age? And he didn't skip a beat. He says, what we have to do is positivize Christianity. And I said, that's very easy for you, being unity ministers. You know anything about unity? You know what they are? They're into everything. The occult, yoga, UFOs, deny everything in the Bible. And he went there not to correct them, but to commend them and to share his church growth principles with unity ministers to help them grow larger. And he said, what we've got to do is positivize Christianity. Positivize religion. That's very easy for you, being unity ministers. You're already very positive. But he said, you know, I deal with people you would even call fundamentalists. And they use terms like sin and guilt and repentance and redemption. What we've got to do is positivize this. Oh, Billy Graham commends him. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to put Billy Graham down, but why does he come on his 1,000th hour of power broadcast and commend him? In fact, he said, it was I who in 1969 said to Robert Schuller, Bob, why don't you get your message on TV? Norman Vincent Peale, you can't imagine the devastation that man has wrought the church. 16 million readers every month of his magazines. He was on the Johnny Carson or Phil Donahue? I think it was Phil Donahue. You remember? He said, it's not necessary to be born again. You got your way to God. I've got mine. I found eternal peace in a Shinto shrine and so forth. I'm not trying to put Billy Graham down, but why does Billy then say, I know of no one who's done more good for the kingdom of God and the cause of Christ than Norman and Ruth Peale? Something's gone awry. And people are reading his books. He says, positive thinking is another word for faith. No, it's not. You can be an atheist and teach positive thinking seminars. It has nothing to do with faith. That's your thinking. That's your mind. We'll talk more about that when we come back to the word faith movement. New Age in the church. Psychology has opened the door to a large extent. This was the Hypnosis Learning Institute. This was given out by a Christian television program in Florida. They had somebody on, a Christian psychologist and so forth, and when you called the number that they put on the screen, you got this. It says, well, it's talking about a home study course in self-hypnosis. And how to create suggestions for use while in a self-induced state of hypnosis. This is the altered state of consciousness, the guru within. That's the higher self. That's the spirit guide. Often we have access to wisdom other than that normally available to our conscious mind. Learn how Thomas Edison, Dr. O. Carl Simonton, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Napoleon Hill. Well, you know, Napoleon Hill found out that there was a school of wisdom on the astral plane. It's run by a group of masters, and one of them came across the astral plane in disembodied form, manifested itself to him, and in a vibrant musical voice said, you've been under the guidance of the great school for years, and we have chosen you to give the formula of success to the world. In the form of success, taught in self-success motivation seminars by our leading businessmen around the world, was given by a demon to Napoleon Hill. It's just that simple. He talks about old Carl Simonton, Bernie Siegel. They learned this from Jose Silva. If you saw it, I debated Jose on the John Ankerberg show. Jose Silva used to go out of his body. Now, you don't go out of your body. The Bible says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You got a demon playing a videotape in your brain. Sure, and McClain thought she was out of her body, but she's not. There's a delusion, a great delusion. He used to go out of his body, and there was this Indian sitting there in a yoga position. One day he asked him, what are you there for? I'm your guru. I'll be your guide if you follow me. You know, he has initiated about 7 million people in over 70 countries around the world in the last 20 years. Hey, that beats Mormonism. Growing a lot faster than they have. That's where O. Carl Simonton learned it from. Bernie Siegel learned it from O. Carl Simonton. Visualization. Jose says it like this. He says, to get into this altered state, yoga is the slowest technique. Hypnosis is the fastest technique. But Silva method is the surest technique. And you learn to visualize your laboratory, and the big day comes when down comes the elevator, and you visualize two entities walking out, male and female. That's Carl Jung's animus and anima. And they're your spirit guides. And silver mind control, if you can't diagnose, they'll give you names of people you've never even heard of, much less met. And if you can't diagnose it to 80% accuracy, check it out with the medical records, they will refund your money. And you learn to heal at a distance, and you can see these people and so forth. It's all through visualization. And that's where Carl Simonton learned it from. And he does it for cancer patients. And this Christian group is recommending this. You've got a book written, Healing the Wounded Spirit, by John and Paula Sanford. And down one side, they've got old Carl Simonton's techniques, learned from Jose Silva. Down the other side, they call it the Holy Spirit. And as he is teaching you how to visualize and come in contact with this inner guide, he says, you can call it anything you want, Freddy the Frog if you want, it doesn't matter what you call it, but this is the great wisdom of the ages coming to you now, your guide. And on the other side of the page, they say, Holy Spirit. This is how to get in touch with the Holy Spirit. This is a Christian hypnosis group that's recommending this sort of thing. Visualization. The most powerful occult technique. It's taught by Paul Yonggi Cho. It's the most powerful New Age technique. Paul Yonggi Cho says, you can't have faith unless you visualize. Remember? He was praying for a bicycle, a desk, and a chair. And God said, how can I answer your prayer? I don't know what kind of a bicycle you want. There are all kinds of bicycles out there. You've got to visualize this thing and give me a clear direction. Jesus said, your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask. But he says, you can't have faith, you can't really get an answer to prayer till you really visualize what you want. And he says, this power comes from the fourth dimension. We don't have time to go into that. It's basic occultism. It's taught by our Christian psychologist, David Siemens, in his book on inner healing. Visualizing Jesus. How are you going to visualize Jesus? You don't know what he looks like. I'll tell you, he doesn't look like he looked when he walked the dusty roads of Galilee, and that's the way most people visualize him. He looks like he looks now, as John saw him and fell at his feet as dead, indescribable. The Bible opposes visualization. What does it say? Peter says, whom having not seen we love, in whom though now we see him not, yet believing we rejoice with joy unspeakable full of glory. The psychologists are heavily into visualization. In fact, CAPS, Christian Association for Psychological Studies, did a review in their journal of the seduction of Christianity. They said it was unbiblical, anti-Christian, irrational, inaccurate, extremely biased, encouraging the power of demons while pretending to discourage it and so forth. I don't make statements like that about people. I simply show you what they say and compare it with the Word of God. They're making statements condemning me, and they've got not one word of documentation. And then they said, seduction, the author, many times makes the point that visualization is not taught in the Bible. The Bible clearly does teach visualization. And now they come up with the best verses they could possibly find in the Bible that teach visualization. Let me give them to you. Philippians 4:8. Well, it says, think on these things. Romans 6:11 says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above. But I couldn't believe it. Hebrews 11, as a verse that teaches visualization. What does Hebrews 11:1 say? Faith is the substance of things, hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith, not by sight. And an attempt to walk by sight is destructive of biblical faith. How can they say that Hebrews 11:1 teaches visualization? These guys are under a great delusion. Paul warned, Jesus warned, that a great delusion was coming. I think it's here. I think it's preparing not just the world, but the church for the Antichrist. And I don't understand. People often ask me, how many of these people have, you know, you point them to the scriptures and how destructive it is of the Bible, what they're practicing, that it's not biblical, that it's occultic. They don't change. Paul Yonggi Cho was interviewed and they said, what do you do? Well, how do you answer Dave Hunt's charges? He says, when he gets a church as big as mine, then I'll talk to him. And then he defended visualization. You had a past I think it was the pastor, Rodney Romney, was interviewed by the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, and he said, "I am unashamedly guilty of all of Dave Hunt's charges." Proud of it. We're not going to go by the Bible, but we're going to go by what we want. And that's basically what it is. The New Age is about empowerment. How to get this power. How to get what you want. How to be what you want. How to get control. And they tell you there's a greater power than atomic power, psychic power, mind power. And we're going to bring peace and unite the world with this. Man, I'm scared. If it were really true, my knees would be knocking. You got a greater power than atomic Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Jane, and Joanne out in the street has got this thing? Talk about Obi-Wan and Darth Vader zapping one another, scanners or whatever. You're just going to have a bunch of little gods running around trying to get what they want. Well, Oral Roberts, the title of one of his chapters, one of his books is, "You have the right to ask God what's in it for me." That's New Age. Exaltation of self, to be God, to be empowered. God is not the creator before whom we bow. And we come as unworthy, repentant sinners, relying upon his cosmic energy source. And if you know the right techniques, see, that's the problem. Let's bring it a little nearer home. Maybe for many of us in this room, prayer, how often has prayer been a religious technique to get what you want? We set our sights on what we want, and we spend a sweet hour of prayer trying to talk God into working it out for us. And if somebody comes along and offers a seminar, certain words you speak, positive thinking, positive speaking, visualizing, and you can get it. People will sign up for it. Because we haven't learned that we are nothing. That we are fools. And without Him, we can't do anything. And we need to give up our own self, our intellect, to let God have His way in our lives, in our homes, in our churches. That's exactly the opposite of the New Age. Father, we pray that you will help us to know you, to know your word, and to submit ourselves to your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more information about the Berean Call and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638. Or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org.